Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me well? Because I have myself on speakerphone.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, cool. My older sister and brother-in-law are listening, too. The only way to figure it out is if I did it on speakerphone, so I'll make sure it works okay.
Hi, Joe's brother and sister.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. they said hi. Yay. Let's bring on, we have a few callers, we're going to bring on just one at a time if you guys don't mind, but let's add Luca, Tana, definitely.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Luca.
How are you?
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, yep. Just thought I'd call in and say hey to everybody and help Joe out.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Thank you, Luca. Yeah, actually, I called Luca before the show. I said, please call in, Luca. I need to help. He's had a long night and a long day. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we're looking forward. We have Rhody calling in to share. So whenever that happens, I'm going to pop him right on the line. But until then, let's go in order here. We have Leah on the line. Let's welcome Leah.
Leah.
Hi, Leah. Hi, guys. How are you? Huh?
Dude, I missed you, Leah.
I miss you too, Luca. Always. You're always fun to talk to. Hi, Tana and Joe and Joe's brother and everyone else.
Hi, Leah. And we also, right now, we have 12 users in chat.
Cool.
I'll get back there in a minute. Chat people, I don't mean to be ignoring you. Much love, Roman, and everybody. I'm just going to be getting callers on the line for a minute here. Let's welcome Mama Pat.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Pat.
What's up, Pat?
Hi, loves.
Hi,
how
Mama.
How are you, Pat?
Hi, sweetie. I'm good. How's everybody?
Good.
Hanging
better
here.
Now that I'm here. Boy.
Oh, aren't you sweet? I've got some good readings right tonight on stuff. Later on, get everybody on and
we'll spice it up first.
We're looking forward to that. So, and then Pat, we have your bestie called in, Keith. Let's welcome Keith.
Yeah. Hi, Keith.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
Keith. How are you tonight?
Glad everybody's on. Wow, this is great.
Hey, Leah. Luca, we haven't seen you in a while. Where you been, brother?
Where you been, Luca?
Yeah.
I was in heaven.
Oh.
I'm already glorified. I don't know what's taking you guys so long.
Aww.
We missed you.
Well, Luca, why did you want to bring us up already then, huh?
Yeah, hey.
I'm here to let you guys, I'm giving the word, you know. You're saying, you know. I mean, the rapture is continuously happening, as we've heard, you know. I kind of, you know, found that out personally, and I was just calling to let you guys know how awesome heaven is, and, you know, can't wait for you to come up here.
Well, aren't you kind? Isn't that special?
Roman's just voice on stuff.
Well, I was kind of sleeping earlier, so.
That's okay.
You woke me up, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Much of Pluto jokes. I mean, he's also speaking truth. We were talking on the phone before. I mean, brothers and sisters, we do not have to wait for the Lord's return to start doing his righteous works. In fact, he loves us either way, but what better way to show our love for him than to, well, there's no reason to stop waiting. Get started. Like, let's, you know, which we all are. I know we are, but let's continue, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The more you do it, the more you really will start feeling glorified. I mean,
a good thing to help wait is to spoil yourself along the way. Like, I was just talking to Joe. He has, like, this new awesome guitar, you know, and he was, like, talking about, like, buying another new amp. I'm like, go for it, man, you know. Because, I mean, like, who wants to be bored until we leave, you know?
Amen. Oh. Amen.
Jesus said to keep occupying, you know, so.
Yes,
yeah,
I always say, occupy himself. A lot of people say, what should I do, Keith? Should I do this or that? I said, just occupy. You know, one of the things it says, you know, always live like we're going to, you know, be here forever, but keep your mind and focus as if we're going out today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't feel like, you know, like go, you know, just occupy. Get everything rolling and just keep going, and always, you know. Kath's got some really cool stuff today that I want. She got some good readings and stuff she wanted to share as well.
Oh, yeah, but get everybody on and stuff.
Another thing,
you know, if we have time, kids, you know, if there's a nursing home or a hospital by you, take your music talents, just take your bot over there and talk to people, and God will open up. So if you have a way to do that, I think that's one of the greatest things we can do right now. I'm just throwing it out there. to visit hospitals or visit hospice, especially hospice, because people are on their way to meet the Lord, and there's a lot you can do. And the Holy Spirit, just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say or do? And just even once a week, you know, for a couple of hours, you know, minister to people that way, since we're in this waiting, you know. So it's just an idea, you know.
And it's a great idea, Pat, because,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people, myself included, like I've had five real straight-up near-death experiences where doctors are like,
wow.
I don't know how you're alive. Each one has brought me closer to the Lord, even when you think you can't get any closer.
Five?
Like,
well,
like,
we have to hear about them one day.
Joe's a zombie, guys.
Whoa.
He's supposed to be dead right now.
Yeah. Very good. He's gonna. No, he's not. We're not gonna know death. That's what Jesus. We're not gonna know death. We're gonna go straight up. You know, it's glorified body time. So,
but I think there's always.
Yeah,
like,
Go ahead, Joe. I'm convinced I won't know death. I mean, not only did he tell me that, but I tested it. You know, the Lord tells me something. Like, all right, let me. You know, and
wow.
Yeah, I mean,
next thing you'll experience is the rapture.
We're very protected. Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
something new for you, Joe. The rapture.
The Bible also spoke about something which we're all part of. You know, not only are we members of the Bride of Christ, but also everyone living right now is part of the last generation,
which
is something that, you know, prophets of old, jealous is the wrong word, but they were like, man, I wish I could be
longing,
in that era.
Longing.
What we're going to exactly. Thank you, Pat. What we're going to witness and what we're a part of and what we get to do for our King is unprecedented.
Yeah.
We have all of heaven rooting us up, looking down.
Oh, absolutely.
We are.
Hey, guys, we're coming up soon.
Praise Jesus.
They know it, and they can't wait, Pat. They can't wait to shower you with love.
And we can't wait.
You're
and we want to shower them with love, too, you know, hugs and kisses for everybody.
Family.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to give as much as we're going to get, you know, because we're all giving. We're all givers. We all love our Lord. And we're to this day, and we're still with the Lord when maybe 90% of the world is in a handbasket going to hell. I mean, I hate to say it, to put it that way, but a lot of people are just not listening. They're not paying attention. They're too comfortable. But so we just keep praying for these people that God will give them a visitation and wake them up. And if they don't wake up, well, then once we're gone, they're going to wake up. We know that. And they're going to cry out for the Lord, and they will be saved. All God needs is to hear that cry because he loves us madly. You know,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't want anybody lost. Nobody.
I know. It's like I feel like sometimes, you know, it's like kind of funny. I have people – I got a prayer thing on YouTube. Some of my YouTuber people have main channels. We start a little prayer thing online, and it's like we got, you know, like sometimes if you pray for something, you may not get your answer, but I know other people will pray for me and then I'll get my answer. You know, I'll get what I want. So we cross pray, you know, and I believe that. And sometimes I've been trying to pray my best friend in the rapture, and I've been like, Lord, I want him in the rapture so bad. He's my best friend in the whole world. He's just, I just love him so much. He's so wonderful.
Exactly.
So I've been praying other people to pray him in. You know, I'm like, my attitude is just pray him in, you know. And so, you know how it is. You pray for your relatives and stuff. You just, sometimes you don't get your thing, but you get other people to pray for them, you know, and we just get them prayed in, you know, because everyone has people that are very important to them. They want to make sure they get into the rapture. And all it takes is that person to repent at the very last second. It could be 1 second before they shoot up in the sky, and that's it.
That's it. I mean, everyone in religion and Christianity, the enemy has made it seem like it's such a procedure. It's really not. If you go to the Lord with an open, true heart, and say, I need your help, Lord. The world's a mess. I'm not part of this. Please, I want to be with you. Please bless me. His grace is so amazing.
Well, guess what? Of course.
It's almost like he doesn't know the word no, and he bends over backwards.
Everyone
has a place set for them at this great party, this wedding feast that we're going to be going to.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to go, and that's another thing where we, you know, our Lord is our King. He's my friend. So I'd like to talk personally and comfort him. He's let me feel some of the sadness that he feels.
Yes,
that's why I... You know, months ago, I was like, come now, Lord. You know, the heck with them. now it's a whole different
right.
thing. It's, Lord, you take time. I understand, like, this must
right.
be so hard.
Hard on him. Yes, because he knows
exactly.
it's going to happen. And he knows he could lose some souls because some of them are proud right to the end, you know. They think one of the disruptions Satan will give you. Yeah, go ahead.
That's why every second, you know, the rapture doesn't come. Instead of feeling bummed, you know, which, again, we all do, and I myself included, you know, I'm not separating myself from it. But also lately I've been feeling, instead of waking up, oh, I can't believe I woke up here again. It's almost blessed, like it's another day for the Lord.
It's another day to win souls for him. That's how I look at it. And because I have such a loving relationship with him, I'm at peace. I know everything is in his timing and way, and I'm not going to get stressed. Plus, there's tons more people really, really coming out with information. I mean, I think it was Chris this morning, read so much stuff that other messages. So they're very, very, very encouraging. He's on his way. He's on his way. I mean, it's not just a few people. It's a lot.
Speaking of, like, telling people, I actually got to tell a guy at my work. He's a little bit older than me. He believes in God, but he's never even heard of the rapture or anything like that, you know? And for some reason, we were talking, he brought up, like, technology way in the future, you know? And he was like, yeah, dude, what if it's going to be, like, on WALL-E when we're all, like, in space and fat and sitting in chairs all the time, you know? And I was like, well, yeah, but... Like, have you heard of, like, the rapture? No, I was like, the rapture, I think the rapture is going to happen by then, dude. And then he was like, the what? And I'm like, have you heard of the rapture? He's like, what the heck is the rapture? And I was like, okay, here we go.
Like a lizard?
You know. Yeah. But, yeah, like, I talked to him about it. I mean, it's a work in progress. I think he still is like, oh, no, that's not going to happen anytime soon, though, you know. But at least he believes in it, you know. Because he already believed in God and everything, but
yeah,
I just think
seeds.
He's not at like a, yeah, exactly, planting seeds.
What do you think? It sounds like Luca, like his church never, he lives in his head though. When I read his energy, he's
Are you seriously like tuning
he's
into
he's
his energy right now?
Yeah, he's a thinker.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Didn't you tune in? I thought you were practicing. What'd you get from him? What's going on with his spirit?
Dude, I was just talking like a normal human being to you. No. But,
no,
I just,
right. You weren't standing.
I mean, it's like you would be the one that just like, oh, yeah, I'm like tuning into his radio station right now. Okay, yep, thinker.
You should have been. That's how you, yeah, you know what's going on with him. He's a thinker, and that's the thing that I can see real clearly with him. I think it's also the church or whatever he's going to, obviously didn't talk about the rapture, but you see he's not going to, he's not one to believe in, you know, more supernatural things. He's more, the fantasy stuff, the stuff he's talking about comes from, that's more head knowledge rather than the feeling stuff, you know. So you, with someone like that, you would hit him with, you know, what heaven's like, things that actually, you know, documented things that really will happen. And then as well as what Luca was talking about, the signs, you know, with him would be.
Oh,
dude,
I started throwing out
volcanoes.
Freaking, like, I was like, look at this. And I was like saying, like I was using the main signs that were in the Bible that were a clear image because like I figured that would speak the most clear to him, you know? And
yeah.
I was like, those verses in the Bible were so we could know like when it's about to happen. Like,
amen.
I don't know why everybody always thinks like, oh no, there's no point in trying to figure it out, you know? You can't know. But like even the Bible literally gives clear scripture of what's going down at that time, you know? And so I, like, threw that out there to him, and I was like, yeah, and it's, like, a mere representation of what's going on right now. So I seriously think he's going to just sit there and sit on it, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
look up, like, Google, like, the biblical signs that are happening right now. You'll find, like, hundreds and hundreds of different things just on Google, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, good job. That's exactly, you hit him at the right angle. I mean, it's like, if he's into physical reality, well, look at the earthquake. Go Google it. You know, look at this. Volcanoes, tornadoes, look at all the animals dying.
And I think the main thing that got him to really kind of, like, open up to it is because we were talking about, like, how America is going to get, like, screwed up. I told him that, you know? And I was like, yeah, and, like, you know, Babylon, the Bible, yeah, that's actually America. And, like, I told him, I was like, in the Harlot of Babylon is the exact same description of the Statue of Liberty. I'm like, look it up in the Bible, dude. It'll blow your mind. And he was like, whoa, you know. Because it is, you know, down to the horns on the head, to the book in one hand, the other hand towards heaven with the torch, you know.
Wow.
It literally is, like, spot on about the Harlot of Babylon, you know.
And one sign that the Lord always tells me that he's told me so many times that he says, Lord has told me so many times, Jesus told me, I've given this sign to the whole world that they can see. And if they miss one, this one, then they're clearly missing all the signs. I mean, it's so obvious. And it's the economy. I mean, there's not one person in the entire world right now that will say, they'll say, yeah, the economy definitely affected me. It's bad. And that's just, the Lord always says, it's an obvious, obvious sign he's given the whole world. Plus the weather,
yeah.
Number two, the weather is a hitter. Person's like, I don't know, it's snowing right here. And it was supposed to be raining and sun last week, and it's snowing. You know, it's like, what's going down? And weather is number two. And then you just go down the list, volcanoes and earthquakes of both, almost 66
wars
volcanoes around
the
world. Wars and rumors of the world. Yeah, totally. World War III is
Keith.
Almost Syria and all this other stuff, you know. Yeah, bro.
Recently I heard about, like, the lockdowns at the White House, you know.
Twice.
And that just got me thinking. I'm just, like, thinking of a scenario that could happen. I didn't get any, like, proof or signs of this, but you know how the Antichrist is supposed to, like, get, like, a lethal head wound and then, like, raise from the dead, and people are going to, like, think he's God, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if we really are in the mid-trib and everything, that should be happening pretty soon, you know? Because after we leave and everything, like, that's when he's going to, you know, reveal, like, himself truly, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That's how it's going. Okay. Yeah, and so basically, one of the ways he's going to reveal himself truly is he's going to raise from the dead. And that's going to be one of the things that he does.
Right,
and
right.
If they're, like, having people, like, snooping around the White House and everything and having it go in lockdown and everything, it makes me question, it's like, man, I wonder how many people are actually, like, plotting the death of the Antichrist, you know?
Yeah.
For stuff
wow.
like that. Because it should be happening pretty soon if we really are in mid-trib. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not. The mid-trib sign is Revelation 12 sign, and that's supposed to be September 17, 2017, so we'd be at the start of it. But, you know, even as much as I'm all about the tribulation, I honestly, you know, it's a little bit, it's not so iron-stirred that we haven't started the tribulation. Some people feel we have. I'm not totally against either of you. I'm not against, like, oh, my gosh, we never started, or yes, we have. Because, honestly, when I look at the signs, it could go either way, you know. There is
I don't know all the details about the
whole
tribulation.
Well, the first 3 years
thing.
Are supposed to be. Remember, the first half of the tribulation is like the birthing pains. It's like the stuff. These are birthing pains we're going through right now with the volcanoes and earthquake. That's like the baby. The contractions are happening. All right, the baby's got ready to get the heck out of Dodge. You know, the contractions are shaking the world. The earthquakes and the volcanoes, and that's the birth. That's the baby's ready to be born. That's the great tribulation. When the baby's born, then the great trip starts, and that's when the stuff hits the fan. The earthquakes go off. The volcanoes go off. The economy collapses.
Fireball.
So right now, as you can see, is like, Lord, it's clear, very clear when you look at the world that God always shows me visually. When he shows me the vision, anyone can see this vision that God shows me. Just look at it. We've had 7-point earthquakes almost every week now, and they're not taking out any major population centers. That's bizarre. I couldn't do that myself if I tried. And then all of a sudden you've got 66 volcanoes. Well, how come they're not going off? You've got the economy ready to collapse. Why is it not going off?
Because they're all
going to
go off simultaneously, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's when the great trip starts, the heavy hitter. And that's when we disappear. You know, we're out. And that's when Israel strikes Iran, and exactly. So, yeah, you're right.
But
a lot of people say we haven't started
like
the trip,
said,
but I believe, you know.
Keith, like you said, there's many views. I'm one who thinks we're about mid-trib and we're going out mid-trib. And, you know, the four horsemen released. Pestilence is running wild. They're, you know, everything, all the four horsemen are all doing their thing. So basically right now, the way I see it is we're waiting for the fifth seal to be opened, which is going to be our wrath. So that's where we're at right now. And again, Revelation.
And I think it could be the fifth or the sixth seal too, though, Joe. I'm with you on that. I believe that I would lean more towards what you're saying than the fact that we haven't started yet. And I think we could, though, be – there's some talk that we already did the fifth seal, that we're on the first trumpet, the first three – the seventh seal would be the first trumpet, which is the meteor hit, you know, so
– Yeah, either way, we're all leaving, you know, so it's like –
We're right in there,
that's
yeah.
That's the tribulation topic.
Okay,
I mean, you could think it's, like, pre-trib, mid-trib, and we're still leaving all the same time.
I don't want to get hung up on semantics, whatever, but, again, the sixth seal would be – you know, once we're already up there. The seventh seal is when all of heaven, you know, actually is silent, pauses, and it looks down. That's when the earth splits axes and everything, and it's full on. So, you know, again, I won't get hung up on semantics, but it is, you know, something I know a lot about. So it is, you know, fifth we're waiting for. Sixth is going to be, you know, events during the second part of the Triv, and then the seventh will be, the seventh's going to end off in an amazing thing. Again, you know, we'll be drinking life water free, and us as the bride handing it out. So we should really, if we're here tomorrow, which we might be, we'll start exploring Revelation and where we're at in it, because it really is, it's so applicable and apropos to what's going on right now. It's unbelievable. It's really like it's a calendar for us to just, everything's mapped out.
It really is,
So let's
get
into that.
Yeah, that's why it's so
cool
to show people, to prove to them that it's happening, you know?
Films with the yellow
stone. We want to get all scriptural.
That's really acting up. Yeah. And they also saying the lava is coming up by St. Helens again, and they're saying Mount Rainier is a ticking time bomb. So you put it all together, and you've got, yo, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, Mount Rainier and Mount Hood both. I used to live out there.
If Mount Hood blows up, dude, that's going to be bad for me, because I'm like,
if Yellowstone
right
goes,
by Mount Hood.
The whole world is
bad for
everyone. Some dialed sooner
but again,
than later.
Mount Hood grows a half inch every year, but that's suddenly growing faster. Same with Mount St. Helens.
It has
size.
The lava coming up further to the top.
Yeah,
it's rising. St. Helens.
It's happening everywhere. That's why the whole ring of fire
everywhere.
Right now is fully activated. That's why, you know.
And then you have the sun flares, which activate the earthquakes. So they're acting up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is another sign, you know, to mid-trip. Like, you know, it's already a lot thing going on. 3 years ago, there were, you know, even a couple years ago, there were earthquakes every day. And not like 1.1. These are like
seven.
The thing I'm also thinking, though, is like St. Helens, that's already erupted before. Mount Hood has never erupted before.
Yeah.
But it's ready to go again, I think.
Yellowstone, too. You know, that goes off. That'll take out a fourth of America.
It's all connected.
Wipe it out.
Well, and also Mount Rainier, which I've been at the top of.
Oh, yeah, that's a ticking time bomb.
Up there. That will take out Seattle. It will clear everything out to the Puget Sound if that goes off.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's going to be
all three of those volcanoes are literally surrounding me right now.
Yep.
I know. You better fly soon.
I know. You better get a boat. Luca, get on a boat or something. Get out there. Get away from it.
Wait, no, Luca said he's already in heaven, right? So,
well, but I didn't say I was going to get hurt. I just said they're surrounding all me right now.
Get on a boat.
But honestly, that's the beauty, and let the fear go, because we are protected.
Yeah, I'm not scared at all. I think it's kind of humorous.
So, you know, are going to climb up.
If you're not scared,
Luca,
why are you living underground?
I'm not living underground.
That's what I heard. Just saying.
Yeah, well, we're not appointed to wrath, so we're not going to have any of this stuff.
Amen.
You know?
Revelation 3:10. Says we're not appointed to wrath.
I was going to say 3:10, right. Those are good words.
Honestly, though,
our blessed hope. Look up for and encourage each other,
if,
and this is your joy.
Honestly, if Mount Hood does erupt while we're still down here, I'm honestly going to be pretty sad, because I love that mountain. Like,
it's
even
beautiful.
Joe knows how awesome that mountain is.
Both of them
are beautiful. Both.
Yeah, but just
the thing is, it's like I could go outside and stare at it right now, and it's, like, huge.
Really?
I've, like, sent Joe pictures and stuff. Like,
well, while you're staring at it, go pray over it, too.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Amen. Enough of that talking about it. Get out there and start praying.
Stop praying over the mountain. Lord, keep it quiet until
you.
I'm out of here.
Thank you, Pat.
Oh, Lordy.
Also, the Canary Islands, you know, the Canary Islands have had all those earthquakes recently. And those
that goes
when
as
that
your
Canary
tsunami.
Island hits, yeah, that's going to cause a tsunami that wipes out the East Coast. You know, that's going to be a big
wave.
One.
Yeah, easily.
New Yorkers will have like 6 hours notice, and then it's going to take them out. That's going to be the whole East Coast right there.
There's no way people can get out. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a traffic jam of all the mother of all traffic jams, you know.
Yeah.
Keith,
trying to get out.
Keith, do you by chance have some news of today's going on?
There's lots of stuff.
Are you ready to go? Yeah. Wait later. If you gotta get.
No, we'll do it now, Brother Joe. Let's do it now.
Yeah, go ahead. Do it now.
Let's do it now,
Brother Joe.
And it's taking all my time. I didn't have time to talk.
Sister
Pat
and
so much.
Brother Joe and Brother Keith and Brother Luca.
Yeah, Luca was talking.
I'm a doctor. I'm Dr. Luke. Come on, guys.
Oh, Dr. Luke. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very smart. Luca's very, very smart. Okay, let's see. Okay, the MERS outbreak becomes urgent. That's a Saudi Arabian respiratory deal. It's been hitting the U.S. as well, so they're trying to keep it contained. Okay, for years, scientists have wondered about the forces that keep pushing up California's mighty Sierra Nevada and Coast Ranges, causing an increase in the number of earthquakes. The San Andreas Fault. Depletion of Central Valley's down. Oh, boy, this is crazy. California, as you know, everyone's got a drought going down. But the drought, they're saying, may be causing the earthquakes in the Central Valley. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's not good. Okay. Recent satellite images show two North Korean frigates, the largest surface combat ships the nation's Navy has constructed in a quarter century. Wow. New North Korean warships seen in satellite images. Whoa. Recent images, satellite images shown two new North Korean frigates, which are like boats, the largest surface combat ships the nation's Navy has constructed in a quarter century. North Korea is ready. They're ready to go. There's a lot of talk recently in the last week that Kim Jong, whatever his name is, the kid that's running the country,
yeah.
He's a phony. That someone else is really in power right now, and he's trying to say
he's the same thing.
He's a fake. He's trying to think he's in power, but he's the front man. But there's someone else that's really in power, and so they're saying, and China's putting bets on the table on that they're going to take out this president. He's going to take this kid out, and that the one that's really in power is going to take over, and China's ready to literally take over when that happens. To move on, move in. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh yeah. Here's another. I don't know if all of you remember the El Nino. El Nino is, some of you do. El Nino is when the weather is warm weather from the Pacific Ocean comes into close to the Pacific Ocean, and it changes the whole the fish and all the stuff. They all act differently, and it changes everything. The weather changes. Like when we had an El Nino years ago in California, it rained. I mean, we don't get rain in California, but it just rained and rained and rained and rained. It was insane. Flooding, but it was just crazy. It upset everything. California, if California was a country, it'd be the sixth largest economy in the world. Very powerful. We grow most food still. We have all technology here. When California goes down, all the internet around the world will go down. Google, Yahoo, all the places where I grew up in San Jose Bay Area, Silicon Valley, it's all up there. So when California goes down, watch out. Well, El Nino it's just because of all the rain and the crazy weather, it screws up all the food growing, the crops, it screws up the electricity, it screws up everything, you know. So they're saying there's another El Nino coming. That's the year, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's coming. It's going to be here this winter. It's going to be one wet one. So find that boat that Luca's on and get on that, you know, head on that sailboat that he's been sailing out there for a while. Danny Glover calls for a boycott of Israel. Oh, boy. Actor Danny Glover is one among several celebrities on Who on Tuesday called for a boycott of Israel, according to celebrities are featured in a documentary titled American Revolution. Wow. Let me see why he's doing this. That Lord says, you just, you know, divide Israel and I will divide your land. You know, I agree everything. We love Israel. We support them. They're God's people as well as, you know, part of the plan. We stand, okay, Tuesday called for a boycott of Israel. The celebrities are featured in a documentary called American Revolutionary, The Evolution of Grace Lee Boggs, which has been a screenplay, blah, blah, blah. We stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine and support their call for cultural and academic boycott of Israel. Whoa.
Oh,
well, these celebrities are having them out to lunch on this stuff. They don't know what they're doing because we can't. We have to agree with Israel. You know, we support Israel. We love Israel. We pray for Israel. Hundreds of fast food workers walked off their jobs in many U.S. cities and more than... Oh, yeah, the other day I was like, Kaiser sent me a little thing saying, oh, yeah, you know, this is the end times for sure. Kaiser sent me a little email saying, if you need medications, try to get them within 2 days from now because you're not going to be able to get them after that because all the pharmacy unions is going on strike, and so there's going to be no medications in this whole Los Angeles area. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. That's
horrible. I mean, it just like, you know, the emails that send, like, they just don't care. Good luck, and try to get it before the 10th, and if you don't, oh, well, and who cares? You know what I mean? It just, there's no, like, try to go to these pharmacies because they might be able to help you, or it's crazy. It's crazy. But now the fast food workers... And this is even more serious. Fast food workers are walking off their jobs. DeLuca's not going to be able to eat dinner at all. I mean, this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Starve.
First of all, I eat cereal for dinner, so I don't care.
Okay. All right. We heard it was Taco Bell, but we won't say nothing. Hundreds of fast food workers walked off their jobs in many U.S. cities in more than 30 countries on Thursday. Whoa, that's huge. Whoa. Joining labor and union activists in protest calling for wages of $15 an hour. Well, the problem is the fast food workers are usually the lowest paid based on the minimum wage. If you raise that level, then what everything just is like a ripple effect and it goes way up. That's how inflation gets crazy. The rapture of the church.
Keith, I hate to interrupt you. Rody has a short time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Rody, yeah. We'll continue later.
That's
welcome, Rody, on the line. Hi, Rody.
Hi, Rody.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Rody.
Hello.
We love you, Rody.
How are you?
How's it going?
How are you?
Okay.
Good.
How's everything?
How are you doing tonight?
God
bless you, brother.
I'm feeling great, man. I'm hearing. I was listening to that, you know, interesting conversation. The whole world is in chaos, no doubt. We live our lives over here, you know, with a good job, with all the benefits of the United States of America, and we don't even know what's going on out there. But the whole world is a zoo. It's a jungle right now, and it's a mean jungle. And they're killing people everywhere. I was just watching today a video of Paul Begley, and
right.
This woman was in Sudan was condemned to death. I mean, just by being
in Savannah.
I mean, we don't even in Sudan. Yes, being a Christian there, it's a major crime. And she was even accused of adultery when she never even committed. They based her adultery and that she's married to a Christian person. And only for that, they estimate that is adultery because she's not married to a Muslim.
Oh,
imagine
wow.
that. And then, you know,
crazy.
we go with our lives and, you know, many of us, including me, we complain here and there, you know, without even noticing that we have it very easy. We got an easy gospel over here. You know, we can leave. All we got to do is obey and, you know, and really be loyal to the Lord and faithful. It's really a simple thing. Over there, they got to do all that, plus they got to give their lives. And you know what? This lady was already punished in the past to 100 lashes. Let me tell you. I don't know about you, but I mean, if they hit with me with 15 lashes only, I think I'll pass out. And she was already punished with 100 lashes in the past, and now before death, she's got to face another 100 lashes. And you know, the one who's got the whip is a Muslim person full of hatred. So the lashes are going to count, each one of them. And I mean, we're over here. Waiting for the Lord and all that, you'd be surprised how many Christians are living a lukewarm life and living in two waters and because we don't have that major persecution. We can only see what's going on out there and look at the future, and whoever's left behind over here, even in the United States, it's like run, Forrest, run. It's going to be run for your life out there. And it's the devil is, I mean, the level of demonic activity right now is huge.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It goes from the politics all the way down to every little area of our lives. And just the other day when this last video I made, I have made a previous video, the same one, but I believe in my estimation, in my opinion, that it was actually way better. As soon as I finished the video without even pushing any wrong buttons or anything, the video got deleted. And I felt some demonic presence in the house. And I mean, I had made a great video, an awesome video with a lot of more details. And I even felt like, wow, this is a great video. And just to find out that after I finished, he erased it. He was mad about it. And that tells us that the coming of the Lord is right as we expect, right here, right now, right there, in the corner, and he's mad. Devil is mad. He don't want any Christians to be out there saying, you know, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And I tell you, I was all frustrated, completely discouraged. You know, I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to just go to sleep. And but something told me, you know what, just pray and do it again. So I prayed and I did it again. Came out. Well, Judy, you said it was the best, the favorite one that you ever watched. And to tell you the truth, the other one was even better. But the devil is mad. He hates us with extreme violence. And he's going to do anything. Just yesterday, I was trying to preach a work, and this young lady, whom the enemy used in the past to try to, you know, tempt me, but it didn't work, of course, thank God. But, you know, this lady, I was preaching to someone, and she interrupted, like, don't talk to me about religion. I mean, and I could feel the presence of a demon or demons in her. And, I mean, even if you're talking to someone else and the person's not even implicated in that conversation, they still interrupt, and it's happening what it wasn't even something that wasn't happening before. It's more aggressive. Everything against Christians is more aggressive everywhere. And it's not, you know, I've preached in dealerships for years, 20 years I got preaching in dealerships, and it's a tough environment, but there was always a soul there that will listen. Not anymore. Nobody wants to hear about the Lord. Nobody. It's very sad. I mean, everything against Christians is increasing, and it's not only outside of the U.S. It's inside of the United States of America. It's everywhere. It's a worldwide situation, and it only points to the coming of the Messiah. And boy, are we lucky! I mean, we are fighting the battle and seeking the face of the Lord. And living a, you know, alive in holiness and trying to do His will and awaiting for that blessed moment of the trumpet blast, we have a huge privilege that we don't even understand. Only when this news from across the world come around and we, you know, and we actually meditate on it, then we realize that, you know, we may not even be doing enough for the Lord after all. You know, these people over there, like in Nigeria, oh my God, they have burned, not long ago they burned 500 Christians inside a church. Imagine that. And then after that, they murder about 100. And then again, and now they kidnap a bunch of girls and they still kill, they're killing Christians left and right in Nigeria. And in all the countries where Muslims, Brotherhood and different entities of Islam running the show and have a strong presence. The Christians have their days counted. They have to really, they're really facing a biblical persecution, just like the early church. And over here, I would say that to make it even, you know, we at least got to give the Lord what belongs to the Lord, since we give Caesar what belongs to Caesar every day. I think we should give, you know, the praise, the time for prayer, you know, our, you know, it's not only our tithes and offerings, but it's also, you know, telling someone about Jesus and
yes.
And I mean, and then when you think you've done enough, then tell somebody else. And there is always, something else we can do, since we don't even have that massive persecution. We don't have that massive and scary. I mean, that's got to be scary. We don't even know if we will, you know, because we haven't faced anything like that. We don't even know how many of us will actually stand firm and say, yeah, I'll take the 100 lashes. We ain't talking about, you know, movie lashes. We're talking about hateful people. Islamic people, that every lash you want to break in half. You know, I mean, we haven't faced any tortures here. Just for that, I think we deserve to give the Lord a little bit more from us. you know, because the Lord is going to call everybody when we get to heaven. You know, what you do with my talents, boy? What you do with my talents? I mean, I gave you 10 talents. What do you mean you didn't multiply? And it's just, it gets me thinking every day, am I doing enough? Am I? And I know I am not. Let's face it, we're not. We're living these lives, and we got kids, and the kids want this, the kids want that, the wife wants, you know, we got our let's say, the way we're used to live here with, you know, commodities and different, you know, benefits and privileges and pleasures that we give ourselves. And many of these people in these poor countries don't have even a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I tell you, it makes me wonder. Thank God that the coming of the Lord is in a minute now, and we are about to leave this world. But it's about to get, it's getting ugly already. I mean, imagine when that trumpet sounds and we're out of here and the devil takes complete control of everything. That persecution is going to extend to the United States of America as well and in Europe. And whatever people weren't seeing before, they're going to see it right here. People are going to get beat up and killed in plain shopping centers and in the middle of the street in broad daylight. It's going to be horrible. That is why we need to tell people that the moment is now, and we're living the final days. I tell you, I'm going to do another video tonight if I can. And the Lord was, some people commented, you know, some people from Australia, they commented in my video, my last video, that the 28th is actually Ascension Day. And I was blown away, like, what? Really? So I went and did some search on the internet. And of course, after Passover, Jesus was crucified and Passover. Then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And after those 3 days, he was on earth for 40 days. And on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And we already know that in this Passover, that it was exactly a biblical Passover, right on the 14th of the month, not only in the Gentile calendar, but in the Hebrew calendar, it matched for the first time in 114 years. It was really, really prophetic, and it was really, I was really very impressed when I found out that it was the first Passover in 114 years, and it was a 4-14-14 Passover, whatever the meaning of the 444 is, which it seems to be, to me, that is the rapture announcement. And not only, you know, that was a biblical Passover, but this time around, it was actually the same day of the week. And also, it happened that, in the biblical times in Exodus, in the book of Exodus, the church or the people of Israel went to Mount Sinai, and it took 52 days to Shavuot. It's exactly the amount of time that takes from the 14th of the month to the 4th of June. Is exactly 52 days again. And I mean, the coincidence and this are just no coincidence. It's simply matching what we're all expecting. And when I realized that 7 days prior to that is because Shavuot actually begins on the after 6 o'clock on June 3rd. So when you count back 7 days, it arrives right there to May 28th, when the new moon is. And when these people put this comment that it was also Ascension Day, I did the count myself. I was like, what? Really? Okay, the 14th of April, it was Passover. Then 3 days after is 17th. The 17th is exactly the same way that Jesus was resurrected. I have previously, some time ago I read a study about Jesus resurrecting on the 17th of the month, just the similarity of the number 17, how it happened the same with the Ark of Noah. And of course, if the Passover is on the 14th, and Jesus died on Passover. Then 3 days later is the 17th. Now, from the 18th, which is the day after, you count 40 days, and it lands exactly on the 28th of the next month. What are the odds? I mean, the 28th of next month is exactly 40 days after resurrection, and it's Ascension Day. It's the day that Jesus ascended to the heavens. Now, this is the mystery here that the Lord showed me today. I was reading the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 11, and it says that there were these two angels dressed in white, and they said, Galileans, it was referring to the apostles, this Jesus that you see ascending this way, he's going to come down the same way. And I was, wait a minute, could this be referring to the rapture or to the tribulation when he returns? And then the Lord opened my eyes. No, it's not the tribulation, because when he returns in the tribulation, he's coming in a white horse. He's no longer ascending or descending alone. He's coming in a white horse, and he's coming with the armies, with the heavenly armies. And this time around, he's coming in the clouds, just the same way that he ascended into heaven in the clouds. So could it be that this 40th day after resurrection, after the 3 days of Passover, that is also a new moon, according to the Psalm 81:3, blow the trumpet in the new moon in the appointed time. Could this be the day of the rapture? Wow. I got to tell you, I am very excited about it. And it's Ascension Day. I mean, I was like, wow. If the Lord is actually, this angel said, this Jesus is going to come down the same way he went up. So come down the same way he went up. He's got to come down in Ascension Day, because he went up on the 40th day after the 3 days of Passover and, you know, resurrection. And for this to fall on a new moon is just unbelievable.
It's a lot.
I have to tell you, it's a very important detail, and you know, if it didn't happen on the 28th, we know that it has to be, I would say, before Shavuot, before the 4th, really, because there has to be 5 Shavuots remaining. But I think the 28th is a very major candidate, considering that is Ascension Day, considering that it's a new moon, considering everything that we have been told, and the different, you know, revelations, dreams, visions that many of us have had, putting all that together and doing the milkshake here, we can get, we'll get pretty good chance of the rapture day.
Yeah.
Rhodey, thank you. Chat room gone wild saying thank you. Awesome. We love it. Even my sister was saying, she's only listened to the show a few times, she's never heard it. She's like, wow, this guy is learned. He studies. He's not just, you know, like he's in the book of Acts. He's, you know, he's comparing modern day to the word. And right on, Rhodey. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
that was awesome.
That's one of our obligations, I would say, you know, that we have to feed the Spirit, and there's no better way than reading and praying. I mean, when you read the Lord, he could never show you something if you don't open the Scripture, you see. If you want something revealed to you, you got to be reading. You got to be praying, but you got to be reading as well. When you read the Scripture, the Lord can point to you. You see this verse over here, this means that, and then boom.
Mm-hmm.
I refer to you and a lot of people in RTC, but you too, as a seeker, a true seeker of truth. And that's what the Lord wants. If you seek, he will show you.
Yes.
Like a lot of people they're not getting revelation. They're not asking. It's really that simple. Please, Lord, tickle my 5 senses, show me something, you know. And he will more than accommodate. Like, it's almost humorous. It's hard not to laugh, because I asked and then was just showered with it, and it's just amazing. Like, wow. Just,
yeah.
Again,
biblical principle. It says, seek and you shall find.
Exactly.
Knock and it'll be open.
But again, we need to seek in order to find. you know, and that's, again, it sounds so simple, but apply it, and it really is such a blessing.
Well, it's like bodybuilding, you know. That's why the Bible says, I think it's the Apostle Paul saying, you know, exercise yourself in the faith. I mean, it's just like going to the gym. I mean, you start bodybuilding, you don't just get all built up right away. You know, it's a process. You start seeking and praying and knocking, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a vision. Then you get a dream, and then the Lord opens up the scripture for you and so forth. I mean, this is what Daniel did, right? And if you look at, you know, I did videos about this. Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, he says clearly, I was looking in the books, the number of years. I mean, this is a person that humbled himself in the presence of God. He was praying, seeking, asking the Lord for revelation. He wanted to know the number of years. He testified in chapter 9, verse 2, that he looked into the book of Jeremiah. He was looking in the prophet's book. He was looking at the Bible. He was reading. He was reading at the prophets, and, you know, and he was seeking and asking God the number of years where the desolations of Jerusalem were to be accomplished. And that's when the Lord gave him the 70 weeks. That's when the angel himself visited him and Jesus himself visited him, and he gave all the things that we know about Daniel, the wonderful book of Daniel. But that was a man of God that had thirst. You know, he was hungry for it.
Yeah.
That's all we need to do. We need to be hungry. We need to be thirsty, and we need to share. It's very, you know, very important. We have a different ministry now in our days, and that is to share the good news of the gospel. Let people know that the Lord is real and He's coming. And you know what? The more you tell people, even if they don't believe, when that trumpet, you know, sounds and the church is taken,
they'll remember.
At least they won't. Yes, they won't. They won't believe the lie of the UFOs. They'll know something.
Right.
Stuff.
Right. Because that's what the government.
It's all about.
Oh,
all
it's
about
the UFOs
planting.
Took everybody.
It's all about even just planting seeds, like our Lord said, and our Lord will come and water them and make it flourish. Something we say, it might seem so minuscule, but later on, a few months and weeks, whatever, later in this person's life, when something profound happens. The Lord is going to have them remember that and come to them. So sometimes one sentence is all it takes, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, the soul is very sensitive.
Yeah,
you can plant
that. That's great. Pat, do you have any readings lined up for us?
Oh, yeah, I've got, let me give you some Hina here.
Be great.
He says, there's an echo. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's there. It says, see everything in truth, God says. Yeah, there's an echo. May your whole life speak the language of love in me and by me. And may the moments that remain for you be nothing but goodness and tenderness, the gift of yourself. You remember that evening before my death. Wasn't it as though my entire being had been translated into love during my Last Supper? And this, I love this part. Be full of indulgence and compassion for everyone. Remember that I called Judas my friend. Imitate your bridegroom. Desire to be identified with him. So many others have striven for this. Why not you? Like him, this should be your watchword, and it would be full of peace and joy. Wouldn't I help you? You see, love finds it impossible to stop. And when I see the work of a soul of pure intent, I take the heavier end. Tenderly, have faith, and love will follow.
Nice. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome, honey.
Rody, people are asking when your birthday is.
Oh, June 11th.
June 11th.
Yeah, I truly hope.
I don't need a year. Yeah, just June 11th is your birthday?
Yeah. I was born
right on
June 11th, 1969.
You might have a cake for you up
in
heaven.
I'm hoping I'm in heaven by my birthday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm hoping that there is no more birthdays for me, actually. Once we live an eternal life, there won't be any more birthdays.
That will be your birthday into eternity, the first one.
That's awesome. Wow. Bertie, thank you so much for sharing again, and Pat, you as well. Keith, you want to finish up the news? Because you're hitting on some great, great things.
I did most of the news. Go ahead, Brody.
Go ahead, Brody. Hey, how are you? God bless you.
There's more.
That,
Brody?
I can't really hear well. I don't know. I hear an echo.
There's an echo. Let me call back. Let me hang up and call back, guys.
Okay, Pat.
Yeah. Brody,
yeah,
is anything else you want?
Is the echo gone, guys? Can anyone else hear an echo?
I don't hear an echo.
No, I hear the echoes myself now, but I can deal with that one.
Yeah, people in chat, you can let me know in chat if there's an echo going on.
What were you saying? Because I couldn't hear before.
Oh, that's no good. That's not what we want. Let me try one thing and tell me if it works. Now, the echo gone?
I'll call again.
Yeah. What's that, Brody?
I'll call again.
No, it's not you. It's not you. I'm just trying things on the control board. Is the echo gone now, guys? I think I may have. Are you still hearing it, Brody?
Don't hear it.
Yes.
There. Oh.
Yeah,
all right. We have a new caller on the line. Oh, it's just Pat calling. That's okay.
No, it's just me calling back.
Well, you know, it's a new call. Hey, Pat, welcome back. And it's a lot to do. You guys would be surprised.
Love you.
How's the echo now? Is it purple? Can we hear each other, or should I start muting?
I can hear it perfectly.
It's okay now, I think.
All right.
Yes,
is Rody hearing it?
Yes, I am.
Uh-oh. I wonder where it's from.
I'm not
here.
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
I don't hear the echo.
Yeah, I don't have it either. People are saying no echo in chat. Echo's gone. We don't hear any echo.
Okay.
But yeah, you
okay,
guys
maybe it will
be. You know, yeah. It's a talk show. If we can't hear each other, then that's just pointless. Like, you know,
I'll go
eat dinner.
What?
So,
what? 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 What?
What?
What? What?
I'm just kidding.
He's gonna
go
eat dinner.
Good to have you back, Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, all. Good to be back. I'm just driving, just getting to work. Who wants to serve some steaks with me? You're all welcome to take over, and I'll sit back and watch you. I'll coach you.
Somebody's keys.
A lot of volunteers, I hear. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Keith, did you want to continue the news? I have a few things here after you're finished.
Is Rody done with his talk?
Oh, Rody, do you want to say any more?
Yeah. No, I'm okay. Thank you. I will leave.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
One more.
It is exciting.
Rody, while we still have you, Rody, someone in the chat room says they have a question for you, but they haven't typed it out yet. So
I have a Rody. I was going to ask you. I want to ask Rody a question about the Revelation 12 sign. That's supposed to start like either either a red blood moon April 15th or was supposed to be like May 14th. And this other guy that talks about signs was saying it would be on the Ascension Day as well. Don't you think, Rody, that has to happen? That Revelation 12 sign, the mid-trib sign, that would mean the tribulation has to start any time now for sure because you can't change that sign, and that points to like either May 14th or April 28th. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, remember, the Lord pretty much, he said, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. It's very hard to figure, God's wisdom, you know. He likes to do this, you know. He wants that to remain a mystery. We can only pinpoint possible dates that really make a lot of sense. But we have failed miserably in the past, you know, with some dates that have made a lot of sense. So we're simply watching. And
yeah, but that's a sign in the heavens, though. I mean, that's a sign that John saw in the heavens. Is, you know, you can't really change that too much. So I'm kind of expecting that to happen.
Well, remember, that's we don't know in which part, because the book of Revelation is deep. We don't know in which part it's going to be a literal thing that's going to be washed, you know, just the way it says there, or it could be, for example, in all these years, with the passing of the years, I've been serving the Lord 20 years, and I have seen, I have witnessed many biblical events come to pass, and it wasn't really the way I thought it was going to be, but it did happen. Only when it happens, you realize, okay, so this meant that. So it's kind of hard, man. It's just, anything after the rapture is really irrelevant for me. I don't really care. Because I want to see that day. I want to hear that trumpet. After that, Brother Steve Simon has a lot of studies about things that are going to happen in the future, and he's got it right. But the truth is, I don't care. I'm not planning to be here. And, I want to be in that banquet hall, where you could eat all kinds of food you haven't even dreamed, and, right by the Lord, and see all of my brothers and sisters and enjoy my new body, which I need one right now. And, we're getting old down here. And fat.
Amen.
By the minute. And due to, non-persecution, we only do nothing but get fat. So, you see, that's one of the benefits of the United States of America. Maybe if I was in one of these countries, I'd be skinny. And,
me too.
And run for my life.
Me too.
But, I just can't wait to see that new dwelling and to see that white horse. I know the Lord has me a white horse, and I love horses. I want to see that horse.
Oh, me too.
I want to see my mansion, and I want to see my new. I want to float all around. I want to do everything I've never done. So really, after the rapture events, with nobody to be offended, I don't care. Simple as that.
God will take care of the rest.
I'm watching for that event. I don't know. I mean, you see, Dr. O'Ward came up with this revelation when he said the most serious warning. And he said, the sun, some kind of event with the sun. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he mentioned that, I realized that one of the titles of Jesus is the Son of Justice. And he is the Son of Justice. And I said, well, yeah, it only makes sense that some kind of event happens with, the sun. But that is not precisely in Revelation, described the way he described that experience. Therefore, it's kind of hard to figure the details. All we could do is look down here, look at the peace treaty. I knew somehow, I told Steve, this peace treaty cannot happen while we're here. Really, it can't, because the Bible says that the restrainer has to be taken away, And along with the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, the church. And then they'll do that peace treaty, I guess. After that, imagine the chaos is going to break loose on the earth. I mean, it's going to be chaos, total chaos. It's going to be an opportunity for many countries to attack each other due to fear. Many of these countries will think that it's actually a weapon, that it has been used, where people have disappeared, and they're going to be panicking. They're going to be shooting each other in the nuclear bombs and all kinds of rockets. My son saw it in a dream. As soon as it was not as soon. It was simultaneously. As we were going up, nuclear bombs were coming down.
Yes.
Okay, so I believe this other guy, Fire Charger, on YouTube, was told that way, and Jonathan Clegg also, that as we go up, bumps come down. Well, my son had a dream where the trumpets, sounded. I left he was left behind, and then he saw this war jet drop this bomb. But it was, I mean, like simultaneously. It was happening all at the same time. And the mushroom, the expansion wave hit him and killed him. I mean, he awoke out of the dream right there. So,
wow.
You know, we don't know exactly how all this is going to unfold, but all we know is that we're very close, and, you know, we better remain ready and watch.
Right. Did you know that? Did you know this news on here? I didn't read it, but I'll just run by you guys. It says peace has another chance, according to Netanyahu. So apparently they're working on something to get another peace plan going. I don't have the details on it, but you can look it up. You can Google it. Yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I saw it. And yes. Remember, this peace treaty is going to happen. It is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. But sooner than that, the rapture will take place. I think because of the rapture, and the panic that is going to create worldwide, that peace treaty is going to be a thing that they are all going to want to sign. I mean, right now, you know, Netanyahu, Israel feels against, you know, they feel that they're against the wall pretty much. But now they're not really threatened as much as they will be as soon as the rapture takes place. Because as soon as the rapture takes place, you know, once I heard these prophecies and these revelations of these, including my son, that as we go up, bombs come down, I realized that, you know, why this is going to, you know, I was meditating on it, and then yes, it makes sense. I mean, all of these countries where they don't even have, you know, Christians there are going to be simply, remember, in all these countries, Muslim countries, they consider Christians nothing but enemies. So when all these people, you know, disappear point blank in front of everybody, and you know, millions of people disappear all around the world, they're going to think it's a weapon. And, you know, who has the weapon? Well, the U.S. or Israel did this, or who knows. So they're going to be shooting each other. And, you know, that's when, you know, that's when probably the U.N. will have to intervene, and Obama will give a speech and so forth. We don't really know the details. I mean, we can only, you know, speculate.
Watch.
But, you know, I'm guessing that that's the way it's going to unfold right after. And the chaos, the necessity, the need for water, potable water, you know, food, I mean, after the rapture, it's going to be hell on earth. So.
Yeah, there's something else that's happening that's hell on earth.
Guys,
Russia says it will cut off gas to Europe.
I mean, interrupt, but let's just welcome on Carol to the line. She's now with us. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, Luco. So happy
Carol.
To hear you hosting the show. And Roddy, I'm so glad you called in. And Pat, of course.
Hi,
and
honey.
everybody
hey,
who's there. Hey, Roddy, I'm so glad you're still on the phone, because I was, you know, I'm still trying to study the four blood moon, prophecies, and insight and revelation on it. And in looking back, I think in 1967, following the you know, the first blood moon, Israel was attacked, and they had was it the 6 day war? Well, the nations got together and
yes.
They won. Okay, and so Jerusalem then became the capital, and I believe it became the capital in June of 1967. I think that's what I read. Anyway, you know, I was wondering if you see anything, or if you've read anything or heard anything about the possibility, you know, of or what your spirit might be telling you about, you know, I understand we could be out by the 28th, which I'm so happy. It totally makes sense. It really does. even though I wanted to be today, but, you know, we're still here. So, but anyway, do you have any insight regarding a possibility of, the war happening, in June?
Well, I tell you one thing. And this is all, remember that the scriptures say that all of those details and signs in the Bible were nothing but shadow of the things to come. So when I was reading, you know, Genesis yesterday, the Ark of Noah, 7 days, he boarded the Ark 7 days prior to the to the floods. So
right.
if indeed we leave the 28th, well, it only makes sense that 7 days later, on June 4th, something happens. Something
yep.
will happen. And
yep.
and remember that for this peace treaty, the Palestinians want the 1948 or the 1967 border. They want a piece of Jerusalem. And, that has to be in the peace treaty. But about the four blood moons, I believe the first one, right, this one that just happened on the 15th of April, was nothing
right.
but the one that announces, that's the one announcing the rapture. Then the second one in Sukkot is the one announcing the Great Tribulation, which is the 42 months. Then the third one, probably be announcing the construction of the temple. And the fourth one will probably be announcing the Antichrist entering the temple and sitting in the temple. So that's what I think that is going to be the order and the announcing of these blood moons, that they are all followed by a solar eclipse with
right.
one total eclipse in the middle. I think that each one of them, has a significant, and the
meaning.
Truth is that when you go to history and you see the order, the pattern and the four blood moons, you could tell that is the way it's going to happen. So. This first one, nothing but announcing the rapture is about to happen. The rapture
right.
is about to happen. I mean, what are the odds that out of Hollywood, where they hate Jesus to death, they come out with a movie, Son of God. Then
exactly.
they come out with another movie that is nothing but a mockery, but still, nevertheless, lets people know about the event of the Ark.
Exactly.
And that's exactly on another 28th, a month in a row, they chose the day 28th. They think, the Illuminati maybe think they chose that day, but I am sure that the Lord did pick those dates. And then a 28th, the third time, then, 69 tornadoes in the U.S. with a solar eclipse that it was on the other side of the world taking place.
Right.
The 29th over there, but still 28th over here. So, and then this May new moon 28th,
mm-hmm.
exactly 7 days before Shavuot. I mean, it's just it couldn't be any more
coincidence. Wow. Yeah.
The other blood moon is in Sukkot, which will be in
right.
October,
and
that is announcing the Great Tribulation is here. We're lucky that we're awakened. When you read the scriptures, it says that, and only because you're relating with people that are not sleeping but are awake and they're seeking God, then maybe you think that there are too many, but really they're not. There's not even close to many. When you read the scriptures and the parable of the 10 virgins, it says that all of them, the 10 of them, fell asleep. It doesn't say
yeah.
that 5 were asleep and the other 5 were awakened. No. The 10 of them fell asleep. Now, 5 had oil, you see, but the 10 of them fell asleep. So that's the condition of the church. That's why Dr. Owoor said the Lord, he saw the Messiah coming, and the Lord himself told him the church is not ready. Well, it's not supposed to be ready. The 10 of them fell asleep. You see, that is nothing but confirming the word of God. That is going to be the condition of the church worldwide, the whole church. Do you think this, I mean, how many people do you really know that are really expecting the coming of the Messiah? In all these liberal churches, all they talk about is nothing but money. Money and blessings and let's conquer the nations and the Lord is going to bless you this year and you're going to have you're going to open your own business and money is going to flow and that's all they talk about. You see, they're completely sleeping. They don't even know Jesus is coming. They talk exactly about the opposite of the things that are going to happen. There is no blessings or no economy coming, no financing, no finances being blessed. It's exactly the opposite. The whole world is going to go into chaos, financially, economically, spiritually, socially, in every which way there is. And how many people do you know that are they're really waiting? They're awakened and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. There's not many. The 10 virgins fell asleep.
Churches don't preach it.
They don't. Yeah. And you know what? I just want to say this while you were speaking, especially at the beginning, but even now, I had goosebumps listening to Roddy. It's just the anointing on you that was being splashed on me, and I was just like, yes, Lord, yes. Everything you're saying resonates so much with my spirit. And
by the mercy of God, all the glory be for the Lord.
Exactly.
Right.
We give him all the glory.
Amen.
You know, you're a mouthpiece, and we're all mouthpieces, you know. But I just wanted to share that. And the other point I wanted to share, which is one thing we've been sharing in our chats and our shows, is that in, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, or 4:16 through 17, you know, it talks about, that we're going to hear the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. The end timers that preach on, you know, on the rapture always bring up those scriptures. But they always leave out verse 18, which tells us, comfort one another with these words. They always miss that, you know. That's part of the reason nobody wants to talk about the Lord's return, because nobody talks about that scripture. And that is a bold piece, a golden nugget, a golden jewel. It is right there in our in his word that is overlooked. It is overlooked. Nobody wants
that is a revelation. That is a revelation. I'm going to talk about it on the next video. That is a revelation of the Lord indeed. Yes, comfort one another with his word.
This,
you're
right.
And then when you comfort
one
another with his words, they call you a date setter.
This is what is so, and you know what? Here's the other revelation. We are following that instruction, at least in RCC, because this is all we do. It's all we're talking about, you know, the Lord's coming, and we don't care about, I mean, we do care. We want we care about the dates. Obviously, we want him to come now, but, you know, he told us in Joel, he told us in Acts, that there will be visions and dreams. He didn't say that they were all going to come to pass right then and there. He said in the last days, there will be visions and dreams. And this is what so many people are having, and they're sharing their visions and dreams. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they share their visions and dreams, oh, no, you know, your date setting. Oh. Well, you know,
date setting is all good. The Lord, I've even discussed, Lord, you gave me dates that have come and passed, and he keeps saying Ephesians 6:12. Like, there's a lot of things in the spiritual realm. Something huge happened on the blood moon. It was just in the spiritual realm. All these other dates are brothers and sisters. It's the same thing. Just because it's not manifesting here in eyes that we can't see fully, it's many things. There's a spiritual battle raging around us, just like Ephesians 6,
oh, yeah.
12 says.
Oh, yeah.
So these things are happening. So don't fret like, oh, it came and passed and nothing happened. Oh, yes, something did happen. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Right.
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 Amen.
Wow, this
Brody,
is
so nice having you on the phone sharing tonight, brother. Everyone in the chat,
mm-hmm.
myself included. Yeah, I was just really feeling
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Like you said, that stay in faith. Keep patient and steadfast. The Lord is coming, and you know, God bless you all.
Love you,
Rody.
We're looking forward to your next video, and I hope it's tonight.
Amen.
I will do one tonight.
Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Gerald's rushing you.
If anyone in chat has that link and could post Rody's video link in chat so that we could all, anyone who hasn't had a chance to see it, could see it. Myself included, I have not seen that, so I would really like to get that link.
Yeah.
But let's do communion, brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Is that all good? Is everyone up for communion?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. All right. So, again, I do this usually, so I try to make it a bit different each night. I'm going to go back into the history because it's kind of cool. Three of the apostles are like, you know, Lord, where are we going to have the Passover meal tonight? And he said, go into town, and you'll find a man holding a jar of water, and that man will have a room in his upper house set up for us. And sure enough, they found a guy holding a jar of water, and he knew exactly what they were talking about and said, oh, yes, everything's set and ready for you to go. So after, you know, it's miracle after miracle of our Lord. But after that, they celebrated the Passover meal. This is at Niacin 14, the Hebrew calendar, which goes from sundown to sundown. So after sundown, they began to celebrate. During the meal, the Lord asked us to do something, and he asked us to do very few things, love our brothers as ourselves, love our God with all our heart and soul, a few other things. But one thing he said, do this in remembrance of me. And I've talked to you all personally on the air. I know how much love we have for the Lord. So let's remember him lovingly. Let's remember the sacrifice that he made, not only the pain he went through and all that, but why he did it. You know, to free us. It's just the kindest gesture ever. He didn't have to. He did not have to do that, but he did. So he asked us to remember that, but also to remember it, to rejoice about it, because it shows us that he is returning. So not only remember, but every time we do this respectfully, we also are celebrating the fact that he's returning. So, brothers and sisters, let us do that together. The Lord first prayed over the bread. He broke it. He handed it amongst the disciples, and he said, this means my body, which I give in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Later in the meal, the Lord did the same. Likewise with the cup, he prayed over it and then said, this cup, his own cup, which he filled and passed around, he did not drink of himself. He said, this cup means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of our Lord until he returns.
truck, you know we've got to leave today. Just exactly where we're going, I cannot say, but we might even leave the USA. Cause it's a brand new game, and I wanna play.
Is everyone still on?
Oh, weird. Oh, weird.
Okay. I accidentally hit end on my phone. Had a nervous breakdown. I was like, oh, my goodness. I had to call back and code back in. I thought I accidentally ended the show. So, thankfully, that didn't happen. Yeah, Jesus is like, nah. I'll defy electronics to keep the show going. So, that's just what happened.
Yeah. I did something similar in yesterday's show. I kept the chat open.
The chat was open, but I closed the window.
And I'm getting an echo again.
Let me mute myself. Let me see if that goes away.
Is it away now? I just tried one thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't hear my echo anymore. So anyway, I kicked myself off the screen yesterday morning, but everybody had already called in. Everybody who was on the phone was still there. It was only like the last 10 minutes of the show. So and the chat room was open, so we just kept going. But wow, what an awesome word from our brother Rhody. You know, it was the Holy Spirit. We give God all the praise and glory for using him and using all of us. You know, what a blessing we've received. This is really truly the favor, the best favor of God, the best gift God has given us in these last moments of the last days. To give us one another, to comfort each other, to get each other pumped up that Jesus really is coming, to give us the hope, you know, to fill us with the hope of glory. This is what he is doing right now in these very last seconds. You know, he's gathering his saints together, you know, to encourage one another, to build up one another, you know, to comfort one another, to keep running the race, to get encouraged, and to continue to ask him for more revelation, more insight, more dreams, more vision, because that is what he is doing in these last seconds as we get ready to fly. We hear some background people talking? Okay. Is everybody there?
Yeah. Everyone on the line.
Oh, good. Yeah. We're good. So, what I really like is the way he explained, the way Roddy explained you know, the pattern of the four blood moons. That was really, really exciting and interesting because I knew we had the first blood moon, and they're very significant. But I love the way he just put it into perspective. The first blood moon that took place on April 15th was the announcement of the rapture. You know, and so I really do, you know, I want the translation to be right now, this very second. But, you know, it's exciting to know that we're going to be gone in just a little bit of time. You know, I just know we're leaving. We're leaving. You know, we all have that unction in our spirit that we are leaving. Nothing can shake that away from us. For those who have allowed the spirit of doubt to enter them, we pray that the Holy Spirit will give them a good kick in their behind, because he is coming not only this year, but he is coming way before September. And you know, I think he is coming on the 28th. Everything makes perfectly good sense to me. So praise you, Jesus. Come quickly for us. Come today. And
Again, also, there's, you know, the Lord has blessed us with, he used the bride analogy for many reasons. But right now we have that amazing feeling of anticipation of, and he told me, let your imagination run wild, and it's going to be a million times more beautiful and amazing than that even. So it's nice sometimes just to think and meditate what's planned for us, what could happen every second. Instead of just waiting for it, I'm also taking the time to really think, like, the possibilities of what's waiting for us, which is a lot, you know, some of what he told me,
yeah.
Some of what's in scripture, and some of what, you know, the other part. Wondering, and it's a great gift. Anticipation is a beautiful thing. Like, again, we can pass the time miserably, or we can find ways to really be blessed by this. So.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise Jesus, praise God. So who has something? I feel like someone on the line has a preach or something they want to say.
I'm muted.
Pat, why don't you,
Oh, yeah, I have something. Yeah, I have something to read here. So I think you all like this. This is from the book from Darlene Sawa, and she writes on different topics, and this is just a little... this is a little reading she gave. I'll need about 5 minutes, but I think you're really going to love it. I mean, I hope it blesses everyone, you know? I hope the echo went away. Jeepers. Okay.
Yes, it did.
Okay. It says, I need help. This is the title. I think it's very good. It says, when you see a storm approaching in your life, one that you know is too big for you to handle, where do you turn for help? Or on whom or what do you rely? The prophet Isaiah said, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. That's from Isaiah 31:1. So it says there, excuse me, in our own day, people are no different from those who lived in Isaiah's time. When people see disaster headed their way, some turn to those they think they can count on to help them out, friends or contacts, Egypt it would be, in Isaiah's case. Others rely hold on material resources they can touch and see, and horses that would be in the Isaiah's time. Still others rely on numbers, and that would be multiples of chariots in his time. And some depend on the sheer power of their own resources, the great strength of their horsemen, as was said in Isaiah. It says, yet God says, seek help from the Lord. All the time we're looking to other sources, God wants us to look to him and call on him for help. It's not a sign of weakness to ask God for help. It's a sign that we trust that he will come to our aid. When we call, we believe he will answer. This is no puny, incapable God we're turning to. No way. He is the maker of heaven and earth, Psalm 121, verse 2. And what's more, he's our father. In the cartoon strip Rose's Rose, Mom is looking up at the approaching storm clouds as she says to her little boy standing beside her, "The weather service says a big storm is headed this way. Does that frighten you, Pasquale?" And Pasquale looks at his dad looming above him and asks, "Is it bigger than Daddy?" When we are confronted with a big storm, the question is it bigger than our Father, our Heavenly Father? Hardly. Well, in that case, let us then, from Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In a big storm, we need more help than friends can can give us, or money can buy, or great personal resources can provide. We need help from the Lord. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses," says Psalm 20, verse 7. "But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He is bigger than any storm we will ever face." So I thought that was a interesting reading. Yes, we're all going through storms.
Thank you, Pat. Pat, were you going to say something about fasting and all that stuff too?
Oh yes. For a couple, not that it's goody two-shoes, but fasting is very powerful. And if you have a problem with someone, or you know, we want everyone to turn to the Lord. We want everyone saved. There's great power in fasting as well as prayer. And sometimes it's fasting that will really get rid of the thing, whatever it is that's bothering you. So, like, for me, as a shiny example, like, I won't take solid food maybe till 4:30, but make sure it's okay that you're healthy enough, and I'll just have fluids, you know, and not a whole lot. And it's okay. And I did it yesterday, and God said, "Would you do that today?" I said, "Yes, I will." And I'm offering it for RCC, my fasting. Now, anybody can fast, and it doesn't have to be a bread and water thingy. It can be there's a favorite TV show, or there's a chapter in the book you just can't wait to get to, or it could be a movie you put off, or maybe not going to the mall and go shopping. It can be material things that you give up, or it also can be you give up dessert for the today, or you can do whatever you want to do. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, how to do that. And instead of if I'm worried about someone, instead of, you know, going after them or challenging them or judging them, I say, "Jesus, I love this person. They love you too. But, you know, give them the grace and everything. Inspire them where you want them to be or what they have to take out." Instead of, you know what I'm saying? So add fasting to that and say, "I'm fasting for this person. I'm fasting for this cause." And it can be one day a week, 2 day a week. Like Fridays, I still don't eat meat. It's just a remembrance of his passion. It's something that I do. But everybody has something else they can do. It's only a suggestion I'm putting out there. There is great strength. There is great power in fasting. When God sees you fasting for someone, boy, does that get his attention. Yes, of course, our prayers and our love. But when he sees that you're ready to have some self-denial and offer it for a person that you're worried about, their salvation, or if they're on the wrong track, and, you know, say, "Jesus, I love this person. I'm going to offer this fasting for that. And please, you know, touch this person's heart. Holy Spirit, fill them. If you have to correct them or take out whatever you have to do, I don't want this person lost, you know. But I'm not going to sit in judgment of them because, you know, it's the eyeball sermon, you know, about the speck and the bean. Think about that. So I'm going to pray for that person or that situation and let God cure. But when he sees, oh, you're fasting, that really says something to him, that you really mean business, that you're very, very sincerely concerned. You know, of course our prayers and everything, and if you can't do that, that's fine. This is between you and God, what you feel inspired from him, what you want to offer him. It's a very personal thing. So I just wanted to say that if you have a situation or a person that you're concerned about, try fasting, because, oh boy, when God sees you want to do that, oh boy. Okay? I just want to share that.
Thank you, Pat.
Amen,
you're welcome,
Pat. I couldn't agree more. It also, the beauty of fasting is it takes you to a very spiritual place. Try not to eat for a week. You're going to be thinking differently, seeing.
Yeah.
Like, it can be compared, for lack of a better word, like to tripping. It's like you start tripping from lack, but you start having amazing revelations like that. You know, again, our Lord did it. He went up in the mountains and fasted for 40 days, not because he didn't enjoy, foot and couldn't get it. He was in a human body. I'm sure he had cramps and, you know, just like, but you get amazing revelation.
Oh, terribly, I'm sure.
He needed to be closer to his father. So what did he do? He fasted to be closer to his father. But sometimes to put this, you need to put this world completely aside, all of it, including food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and we do it in little bits and pieces, but that's
it's
a great way. But again, as you
ask
said,
the
Pat,
Lord.
it's not just a fast for food, and most people, it's not very too healthy. You know, some people, it's not too healthy to do that
if
for,
you
but
can't,
it's
you
like
can't.
You said, any time.
Yeah.
Any
this is
kind
between
of,
you and the Lord.
You and the Lord. Whatever. Right, whatever the Lord calls you upon to do, but right on, Pat, as always. Thank you.
But when he sees you wanting to fast, boy, have you got his attention about whatever it is that you are concerned about.
Nice.
And when you turn to fasting, to you know what I'm saying? Because somebody had, what did Jesus say in the Bible about fasting? Wasn't there something the apostles couldn't do that they said even fasting didn't? What was that?
Yeah, this kind of can only come out by prayer. They were fasting and stuff, whatever. A certain demon had to come out through a healing. It was one of the things that couldn't be healed through just regular hands-on. But fasting really good.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm sorry, Keith. Yeah, I wish we got to remember that scripture. If anyone knows the chat room, put it. But that's a spot on point. Like the Lord said, like even fasting wouldn't fix this. Basically, to make His word shorter. So saying that shows how powerful fasting is. Our prayers are referred to also in the Word as a beautiful incense to our God, Jehovah's throne. And, you know, it's sitting there a bunch of Hail Marys over and over is not, a good stout-smelling scent as much as pouring out your heart for real. And, but again, he uses analogies, so he did it as like sweet smells to him. So, prayers, it's so important. I mean, it's, why wouldn't it be? It's communicating with our Lord and our God. It's a privilege to be able to do it. Such a privilege.
Mm.
Yeah, and
but
fasting
powerful.
Really sensitizes the, fasting, puts the body in a heightened sense of awareness. And because of that, it makes people extra sensitive to the spirit realm. And so then when they're senses are deprived a bit, which they did in many centuries. They've done that on purpose, in olden days, back in the past, they've done that. But people can fast that today, make their body heighten their senses, and when that happens, then they become really sensitive to the spirit plane, the spirit realm, and then they become really sensitive to God, and the Holy Spirit, and their visions open up more, and their dreams, and their gifts become stronger, And that's a good start for anyone that wants to strengthen their gifts. Some people, you use your gifts for a while. You become an expert at them. You don't need to fast. But many people do need to fast because then it's a way to communicate with the Lord more and to strengthen their gifts, to find out what's going on, And I agree with Pat. I've got people that fast for me all the time for my health and stuff. It makes me, it touches my heart deeply when they say that. It's very... probably nothing more affectionate and loving when they tell me that. I find that very, very wonderful.
Oh,
why don't you read another one of your thingies, Pat?
I can do, let me see. It says here, tonight when you went to your open window to look at the splendid sky strewn with stars whose light glinted among the flowering cherry trees, you listened to the nightingale of the island and you felt the joy of having so powerful a bridegroom. Oh, may this and many other spectacles in nature increase your confidence in me. And he says she was having, some doubts about something. And he said, you don't have enough trust. Who will give me this look of abandonment that I'm waiting for? Keep in mind more often that I give you everything for nothing, all my heaven for your nothing, and for the mere pittance of your earnings. Think of this more often so that your heart may be stirred. And he said, I spoke of your look. Now I'm speaking to you about the way you look at me, obedience, oblation. He says, reach the degree of intimacy that I've desired for you. Make the breakthrough. Enter into the realm undreamed of. And he says, give me your trials unstintingly. I may need them, to help a sinner, don't you think? Later on you will see that all that came from your suffering, both for others and for you, And now that you accept the sacrifice, don't you feel freed from the earth as though ready to take off? And don't you see how ephemeral everything of time is? See everything in truth. May your whole life speak the language of love in me and by me, and may the moments that remain for you be nothing but goodness and tenderness. And he says, enclose yourself in me. If you knew who I was, you would pray today for all sinners, those that you know and others too, with all the trust one feels in the infinite. Shut yourself and never to depart again. Be like my cloistered sister. The cloister, you know, is the image of my heart. There's where you will live, in the midst of others, with such love and tenderness. Do not be afraid to be transformed. Abandon yourself to the strokes of the chisel. Everything is for you, is for your good. Isn't my love for you beyond reason? Yes, I love you to the point of doing the good that I want to do to this one and that one. Own this one and that one by you. You will not always notice this. Sometimes you will wonder, who spoke then? Here I. You know how I have merged with my faithful child. Wasn't this my desire, to be one with you, with each one of you, not for just a moment, but for all life long? Yeah.
Amen. That was good, Pat.
Oh, I'm happy to share, sweetie. Is anything I can do?
We love that, Pat. Thank you.
No, sure. You're my joy.
You're
welcome, hon.
Yeah, share with us, like, with you, like, when you're hearing from the Lord, what, you know, share us about some of your experiences in hearing from the Lord. Like, do you feel him? Do you see visions?
Oh,
do you
all
see
the
angels,
time,
or?
All the time. I mean, he comes, I see angels on, when I'm, sometimes when I'm emailing you, I see little white angels, I'll see blue and white angels. Or I'll see him on his face when I'm in the kitchen. Like he's the other morning, he came so alive to me. I sat there and I had tears streaming because his presence was so overwhelming. And I said to him, I said, you know what happens when you do that? I say, when? You know, like, I just said, don't you feel my loneliness? And when I'm speaking to him, I'm speaking for all of you. I'm saying, it's like all of us, do you feel our loneliness and everything? He didn't say anything because I had to come in here. But the other morning, I woke up at like 2 in the morning, and I was like kind of flustered, and I was tired, and I'm thinking like, oh, I'm so tired, but he just like roused me. But before I went back, I heard you know how waves hit the shore very softly? For about 3 seconds, I heard waves like the ocean hitting the sea. He knows what a beach nut I am. So maybe he's like saying, like, it's not long. Oh, I know what I have to tell you. I was looking. I love California with a passion. I was out there years ago. I didn't want to come home. So they had. I found this thing where you could have reviews online of Los Angeles and everything. So I went through it, and I had tears because I missed it so much. And Jesus said to me, He says, I can give you a California in heaven. He says, anything you have here. He says, I know what you like. I know exactly what you like, right down to the detail. He says, don't worry. When you're taken up here, he says, I'll give you everything you're seeing here. He says, there's nothing I can't do. He says, it's a piece of cake for me to replicate in heaven. Anything you love here. So that made
wow.
me feel so good. Isn't that
wow.
beautiful?
Yeah.
He said,
wow.
Yeah, don't worry about anything. Anything you love down here, he says, I know exactly, and that goes, Carol, that goes for you, and Keith, and Joe, and just everybody. He knows what we love. And he says, I know exactly what you love. And he says, you'll find that in heaven, you know. So he says, I can replicate California. Like, that's just the piece of cake for me. He says, you love all those palm trees and beaches and canyons and mountains. And he says, and the pretty, he even said that the buildings that have so much color, you know how they're pink and green, they're beautiful. They're by the beaches. And he says, I can do all that for you. He says, don't be sad that you're not there, you know. So that was so precious. And he's God. Of course he can do that.
Wow. Well, I love
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful how he is. He's so sweet.
Well,
even
I'm living next to you
like
in Pat. My mansion's going to be next to yours, Carol.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That's okay.
All
I'm
right.
going to have a tremendous log cabin. I love log cabins, the real beautiful,
well,
huge ones on the lake.
I like Italian villas.
Yes.
So mine's going to be an Italian villa. Yours will be the log cabin.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Mm.
I love
oh, yeah.
that, too.
I want to have a boat on the back and water around
yes.
it.
Yes.
The water
yeah.
on all different sides.
I'm gonna have Carol,
what about your
and docks. Yeah, you, Carol.
Carol, what about your mansion?
I definitely want to be around the water.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to have a great view. I think I want it like on a on the mountaintop as well, or like on a hill, maybe on top of a hill. I want to have a luscious, luscious garden of beautiful, beautiful flowers and all kinds of plants, you know, a very, just very inviting. I want a, I want to be by the rivers, by, like I said, water, so I'm picturing a river or a lake, and, you know, it's clear as crystal. They're not like the rivers and lakes here on Earth, where you can't see anything because they're muddy and dirty. No, these are just, not only are they refreshing, but they're constant, you know, I want to say healing, but that's not the word I'm looking for. It's, they're invigorating. They're invigorating. You know, it's more than refreshing. They're invigorating. They just come, I mean, it's hard to imagine that we're going to be more alive than, you know, than, you know, we can't imagine being more alive.
Hey!
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm
gonna
have a big
yacht,
too. We're all going to get on my yacht and have big parties with Jesus on my yacht.
Yeah. So it's just going to be, I don't know, it's just, and of course I want all my best friends to live right by me, which is all of you guys.
Amen.
All of you guys. You know, so this is, we're really, I'm really, really excited, you know, that we're so close first to see our beloved Jesus. I can't wait to meet my angel as well.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm looking, you know, I appreciate and love my angels so much. God assigned them to me, and you know, and I think back, I look back at my life a little bit and think, wow, you know, I really put those angels to work because they're ministering spirits, you know, and they're protectors, watch over us. And, boy, I really had them coming and going. But they did an awesome job of protecting me. So,
well, they love you, so they will.
to God be all the glory and praise.
Yes,
so,
right. Okay, we only have a few minutes.
We have 3 minutes left or less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a good show tonight. Very good.
Very good.
Yes. Oh, Carol, God said when you were talking, he says, I know what she likes. So he's got it covered, honey.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting you say that, Pat, because, you know, I know, if you noticed, I didn't describe my mansion. I described pretty much everything I want around it. And that's because I don't know what I want in my mansion or what kind of mansion I want.
Oh, but he knows. He knows.
Exactly.
He knows.
Exactly.
He knows.
I
every detail.
I was thinking to myself, he's going to surprise me.
Yes.
As I was speaking, he said, he's going to surprise me. And then you say that he knows.
He knows, honey.
Yep.
Yep, he knows.
That's
everybody.
Awesome.
Everyone. Oh, what a lovely God we have. So sweet.
We do.
Powerful and sweet. For all that he is so great, he's so sweet. Yeah,
and everyone in the bride says,
Come, Lord.
Come
fetch us, Lord.
Love you, Pat. Love you, Carol.
Okay, love you, everybody. Love you all. I love Chad,
Joe.
Everybody.
We love you, Luca, even though you deserted us. You show up today. We love you, Rhody.
Love you, everybody.
Thank you, Rhody, for sharing with us.
Thank you, Rhody. We love you, Rhody. Come anytime.
We love you, Rhody. Yes.
Beautiful teaching.
It was great that you called in. Thank you so much for sharing. We were all blessed
by
that.
Yes.
Please call it.
And we'll see everybody in chat.
We love you, Carol.
Spirit of
everybody
the bride.
In chat. Remember
love you, love you, everybody.
Thanks for hosting, Luco. Thank you so much for hosting. You were a great host tonight.
Joe was. Joe was the host. And you can everybody
Joe,
in the chat room.
Everybody there.
We all
in
the chat room.
Great.
can go back in the chat room after the show. Just click on any episode, and you can get right back in, or you can hit pause, or you can just keep typing, and it'll keep you in either way.
Okay.
Joe, next time we hear from you, you want to share us what your mansion looks like sometime in heaven, too. I wanted to hear what you had to
say
about
that. And
some
of your near-death experiences.
Yeah.
Please.
Right on.
We have to hear them.
Yes, thank
you so
much.
I'm curious what Joe's mansion looks like, because he's Italian, too. I want to know what his mansion looks like. We're in the Italian side of town. Heaven.
Oh, it'll be everything you love. He knows.
Yeah.
Trust me. If he can replicate California for me, he's got your mansion covered.
Oh, man. Luca's going to live in a sailboat, you know.
Hey, sailboats are cool. Don't knock it.
Small ones.
Boy,
real small
great.
Ones.
A big,
little tiny one.
No, a big
it's
one.
It's
sails. We love you, Luco.
We love you, Luco.
We'll swim
he's
on the side of
like,
your boat.
Yeah, he's going to go and clean up our boats for us and all that. You know, they have the people that run all that stuff for you.
No, he'll probably have a yacht five times the size of what's there, and we're going to be cleaning it.
Yeah, I got to go. I have family here. I'm going to go down back downstairs with them. So when I hit end, though, it's going to drop all of your calls. But,
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Love you.
Love you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you, everybody. Bye-bye now. Good show. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.